Parshas Vayeshev, Bruchim Aboi B'Mori, we'd like to look at the Pasuk in which Yosef faces a tremendous struggle with the wife of Potiphar. And as we know, he is Oymed Ben Isayin. He successfully is Oymed Ben Isayin, and the Pasuk tells us in Parak Lamates, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza. Vayonos means, and he fled. He escaped Vayetze Hachutza, and he left, even though Ashes Potiphar had grabbed his beged, and he had left, as it were, incriminating evidence against him. We'll come back to that later. But he ran away. So the Medrash says, and this is quoted by some of the Rishonim, the Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Tehillim, it's also a Medrash in Parshas Vayeshev, the Medrash says, Hayom ro'o vayonos. As we know, this is from Halel, Betes Yisrael, Mitzrayim. Hayom ro'o vayonos. The Yam, the sea, Ro'o, it saw Vayonos and it fled. What exactly did the Yam see? Ma Ro'o, says the Medrash, Ro'o Aroinoi Shol Yosef Yoreid LeYam. It saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yonus HaYam Mipnei HaNos Min HaAveira. Just as Yosef HaTzadik fled, as we saw in the pasuk that we began with, Vayonos Vayetze Achutza, so too, sounds like Mido Keneged Mido, the Yam will also flee, i.e. it escaped, it separated to two sides. Shenema Vayonos Achutza, so too, with the sea, Hayom Ro'o Vayonos. So there is a clear connection, not just with regard to the words, but in the seder of the events. The Kriyat Yamsuf seems to have been, as is apparent in the Medrash, in the zechus of Yosef HaTzadik. So of course we need to understand this. Why was Kriyas Yamsuf a nes that was carried out in the zechus of Yosef HaTzadik? And specifically, there seems to be a correlation in the Medrash between the fact that Yosef escaped, so too the Yam escaped. Now there is a sefer Al HaTorah, it's a small sefer, small in quantity. It's called the Sefer Apirion. The Sefer Apirion is written by Rav Shlomo Glanzfried, who of course is known to us primarily by his other Sforim, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, amongst others. And he deals with at least part of this question. In what way was Kriyas Yamsuf held as a Zechus because of Yosef HaTzadik? Why was it that in the Zechus of Yosef, that's why there was a Kriyas Yamsuf? So the Apirion says that I would have said it's very poshut. Those are his words. Nira lefiani asdaiti is poshut. Why? It's all to be found in a Medrash. The Medrash tells us the following story. The Medrash says that whilst all of Klal Yisrael were busy collecting the spoils, Moshe mesavei veshoir, the spoils of Mitzrayim, Moshe was mesavei veshoir. Moshe Rabbeinu encircled Mitzrayim for 3 days and three nights in order to find the Oroin of Yosef. And he could not find it. Why was he so desperate to find the Oron of Yosef? Because the Geula of Mitzrayim seemed to be conditional, dependent on taking the Oron of Yosef. After all, they'd made a Shavua. Pokoid Yifkoid, as the Pasuk tells us in Parshas B'Shalach, that we're going to take out, Klal Yisrael will take out the Atzomos of Yosef, but they were not to be found. Achar Shenisyagea Harbe, after having toiled for a long time, he met Serach, the daughter of Osher, who clearly lived for a very, very long time, some say forever. Omraloi, Rabbeinu Moshe, she said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, Loma ata yogea kol kach, you seem to be very toiled, exerting yourself, what is it that you're involved with? And he said, I'm looking for the Oron of Yosef and I can't find it. So she said, come with me and I'll show you. It's in the Nile River. In the Nile? Why should it be in the Nile? So she explained that they deliberately, the Mitzrayim, they also knew that Klal Yisrael's exiting from Mitzrayim is contingent on them taking out the Atzomos of Yosef. If the Atzomos of Yosef can only be ensured to be left behind, then so too Klal Yisrael will remain behind. And for that reason, the Mitzrayim made an Oroin Shel Oiferes. Oiferes is lead, which is very heavy and obviously sinks in water, and it weighed chamesh meyois kikrim. And they put Yosef in that oroin, they closed it, and they cast it into the Nile, and of course, it immediately sunk. Why? Because the Khartoumim, the sorcerers of Egypt, told Paroi that if you want this nation to remain behind, you have to ensure that they don't find the Atzomis of Yosef. The whole Geula is dependent on that. So Moshe Rabbeinu now knows at least the general location of the Aron of Yosef. It's somewhere in the Nile. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as described in the Medrash, stands by the Nile and he says, Yosef, Yosef, ten kovoid leloikei Yisrael, al ta'akev gu'ulosan. Do not withhold the Geula. The whole Geula is now dependent on you. Ma'asim yesh lecho. You have great deeds that you have performed during your lifetime. Bakesh rachamim. Could you request rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'alei min hatahoim and rise up to the surface? Miyad. Indeed, that's exactly what happened. The Aron of Yosef began to rise and Moshe Rabbeinu took the Aron on his shoulder, personally carried it out of Mitzrayim, and thus the Geula was allowed to happen. So the Aperion says, we all know that the Yam did not want to split. The Tsar of Mitzrayim, the Tsar of the Yam, claimed, why should Klal Yisrael deserve the Geula? But Klal Yisrael had the winning card, as it were, because they had the orange of Yosef. And therefore, in that Zechus, they were able indeed to be Nigal from Mitzrayim. So therefore, says the Aperion, it's very simple. It really is in the Zechus of Yosef HaTzadik that there was a Kriyas Yamsuf and there was a Geulas Mitzrayim. Very simple. According to that Medrash, we understand. It is, of course, very, very clear. The Aperion, however, as beautiful and emes as his explanation is, only explains to us why the Geula and even Kriyas Yamsuf happened in the Zechus of Yosef. But he does not explain to us the correlation made in the Medrash between the Vayonis and the Vayonis. Hayom Ro'o Vayonis. That he doesn't explain. It seems clear in the Medrash that the Kriyas Yamsuf happened as a direct sechar for Yosef HaTzadik fleeing from the Eishes Poitiv. So I saw in the Kliyoko offers a very novel interpretation. And the Kliyoko says as follows. We know that nowadays, somebody who has been over an Aveira and really deserves to be put to death, one of the four Mises of Bezdin, well, that doesn't happen. We don't have a Bezdin nowadays who have the authority to carry out the death penalty. But says the Gemara, the death penalty still very much exists. Although, it's not carried out by Bezdin. How so? Says the Gemara, if somebody, for example, was over an Aveira, for which he really deserves chenek, strangulation, suffocation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that he drowns in the sea. And that way he gets suffocated. So that essentially is a fulfillment of the punishment which he rightly deserves. Although, albeit it's not carried out by Bezdin. So is the Kliyoka, a genius pshat. Habo al Eishes Ish, the Aveira of Aroyos, which is what Yosef HaTzadik was now having to contend with, the Oynish is chenek, strangulation. That's why, for example, the Doir HaMabul, who were over Aroyos, they died in water. Says the Kliyoko, Vayonos Vayetze HaChutzo. Yosef HaTzadik fled the scene and was not Nichshal in Aroyos. Therefore, he is the one who saves Klal Yisrael from being drowned in the Yamsuf. It really is Mido Keneged Mido. So again, it's a genius pshat, but it doesn't so much explain to us what was the specific sechar for the fact that he ran out of Eishes Poitiv. The fact that he wasn't nichshal, the fact that he wasn't over the Aveira, surely that is the zechus. So what I wanted to share with you, really, is the Mahalach of the Mirror Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz. In his famous Sefer Sichas Musa in Maimer Chof Aleph, he explains a wonderful interpretation, but a very important interpretation. Yosef HaTzadik, who refused to be Nichshal and was able to be Oymed ben Issoyin, the Medrash tells us that every chelek of his guf that was not over an Aveira ultimately received schar. For example, it says that his mouth, Sheloi Noshak ba'Aveira, his mouth ultimately got a schar because when he went down to Mitzrayim, became the vice prime minister, Al picha yishak kol ami. His guf was not over an avera. His guf was eventually adorned with the royal clothing. His neck that didn't bend towards over an avera. Vayosem revid hazov al tzavoroi. His neck eventually carried the royal cloak. Etc., etc., etc. So every chelik of the guf received a schar. Asks the Mira Rosh Hashiva, it's a very special schar indeed to wear the big day malchus and the revid hazov, but the greatest schar of all is surely Kriyas Yamsuf. And that, as is evident in the medrash that we began with, was a schar for the fact that he ran out. Vayonos vayetze hachutza. Why was that particular aspect of his being Oymed ben Yisoyin so worthy, such that it was what brought about not just the wearing of royal clothing, but it brought about the entire creation? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, and really this is the Yisoyin, and I'd like to quote because his words are so important. V'nire mikan yisoid godoil ba'avodas ha'adam. It would seem apparent from over here an enormous lesson in our avodas Hashem. Iker avodosoi hu livroyach mimokrim hasakona uleisrachek min hanisoyin kuchol ha'efshe. We are faced with nisyonis. Our main avoda is not to deal with them, but rather to run away from them as much as we can in the first place. V'loyshe yamoid b'mokrim ha'nisoyin. Don't stay there. Lehiloche mim hayetze ponim el ponim. And this notion of escaping, of running away from nisoyin, kosher hu al ha'odom, yoser mikoyim. Because if he remains in the mokrim of nisoyin, ultimately the yetzahara will get the better of him. I'm reminded of the famous story of Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker said a moshel. He said there was once a king who wanted to hire the royal chariot driver. Who's going to be zeicha to be the royal wagon driver? And as you can imagine, there was frenzied competition up and down the country. Who's going to be the one to be zeicha to be the one who's the royal wagon driver? And after terrific competition, it was all narrowed down to three top wagons. And the king interviews the first, and he says to him, tell me, on what basis would you consider yourself worthy to be the royal wagon driver? So the king said to him, for example, what would be, let's test your credentials. What would be if one day you're driving the wagon, the royal chariot, and we get stuck in a mud ditch at the side of the road? How would you get out? Do you have a way of getting out? Yes, Your Majesty, I could get you out in 2 minutes flat. Really? That's very impressive. How would you do that? I would remove the back wheels. I would add another horse. A crack of the whip. We'd be out of there in 2 minutes. Very impressive. He then calls in the second one and says, tell me, clearly you want to be the royal wagon driver. What are your credentials? If we got stuck in the side of the road in a mud ditch, how long would it take you to get out? What would you do? He said, I could be out in a minute. Never mind 2 minutes. The last thing I would do is remove the back wheels. To the contrary, I would dafka remove the front wheels. I would add not just one horse, I would add four horses. In a minute, I could have you out. Oh, super impressive. He calls in the third candidate, says, tell me, if we got stuck in a mud ditch, how would you get the royal chariot out? And he says, I've got no idea. No idea? So on what basis do you consider yourself worthy to be the royal wagon driver? He says, I'll be honest. I have no experience in it. I've never got stuck in a mud ditch at the side of the road. And to be perfectly honest, if we did get stuck in a mud ditch, I don't really have any tactic or any strategy in which to get out. But because I don't have a strategy, I'd be extra careful not to get stuck in the mud ditch in the first place. Said the king, oh, that's the wagon driver I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the one who knows how to get out of a sticky situation. I'm looking for one who knows not to get stuck in the first place. Says the Mira Rosh Hashiva, and this was quoted by Reb Chaim Brisker at the time, people think it's a great kunst to be able to deal with difficulties. It's a far greater skill not to have to contend them in the first place. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, what we're learning from Yosef HaTzadik is not the way he dealt with the Nisayin, but rather the koyach to run away from the Nisayin. And he explains The Ramban asks, why did he leave his coat with Ashes Potiphar? That was the incriminating evidence. She had no evidence against him besides for that. And ultimately, that's what precipitated his 12-year sentence in jail. It would have taken 3 seconds. Surely he could have wrestled away the coat from Ashes Potiphar, says Ruchaim Shmulevitz. But that's precisely the whole point. It would have taken 3 seconds. And those 3 seconds that he would have had to have remain in the mokrim of Nisoyen was too dangerous. It was a risk that he wasn't willing to take. Vayonos vayetzei achutzah. If it means I leave the coat behind, and it means that's going to be the evidence, and it means I'm going to have to languish in jail for over a decade, so be it. 12 years languishing in jail is better than to remain 3 seconds in a mokum of sakona. This is a terrific yesod of the Mirror Rosh Hashiva. The Gemara tells us that Dovid HaMelech requested he should be tested, and he was nichshal. We daven every day. Va'al tivienu loyli dei nisayin. We don't want to be tested. And if a test comes our way, the avodah is not to deal with it, rather to escape from it. And he explains, Chazal tell us, Gemara in Soito, Ein odom choite, elo im kein nichnasa boy ruach shtus. A person will only be over an avera if there entered in his head a ruach shtus, a moment of madness. He became, as it were, a shoita. Asks the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, one moment. If that's the case, how can anybody ever be held accountable for any avera that you're over? He became a shoita. We know a shoita is potter, mikol ha-mitzvahs. And if Chazal tell us that a person's only over an avera when he becomes a shoita, as it were, momentarily, so why is he held accountable? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a moiridiki yesoid. If you stand at the edge of a cliff on a windy day, and chas v'sholom, a hurricane comes and blows him off the edge, he's not held accountable for falling off the cliff. He's held accountable for standing at the edge of the cliff in the first place. You cannot battle a hurricane. But why were you putting yourself in a situation of danger in the first place? So yes, that's considered suicide. How could he have fought against the wind? He couldn't have. But had he not been standing in the edge of the cliff, then the strongest winds in the world could not have tipped him over the edge. Yes, a ruach shtus sometimes overcomes a person and will get him to do things that he didn't want to do, but why were you in the edge of the cliff in the first place? If you enter a mokim of Macholes Asurois, then maybe the Eight Sahara will get the better of you, and in a weak moment, in a Ruach Shtus moment, you'll end up eating the Macholes Asurois. So why would you be held accountable? Not for eating them, for having put yourself in a situation where the Eight Sahara could get the better of you. The Gemara tells us, this is also quoted by the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, that this was Bilam's great guile. We know that Bilam was machshil all of Klal Yisrael with Arayos. What was the secret of his success? How was he matzliach in bringing this tremendous catastrophe upon Klal Yisrael? So Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Klal Yisrael were lured into various stores. Stores being manned by whom? By the Moavi women. But which noshim were there? Bilam had a great trick. Zakeina mibachutz, v'yolda mibafnim. There was an elderly woman. She was, as it were, running the store. She was the one standing on the outside. It was the young woman who was going to entice him to an avera. She was the one inside. Very clever tactic. Why was it a clever tactic? Zakeina. Well, that's not such a dangerous place. Not such a great yetzahara. But you're standing in a mokum of sakona. And then you get lured in and sucked in, and the Ruach Shtus overtakes you, and you're then at the point of no return. It's more than that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that how did they in fact entice them to enter the store in the first place? You know how they did so? Because they offered them wine. Says the Gemara, Va'adayin loyne'esar yayin shel nochrim. This of course predated the Issa of Yayin Nesach, Stam Yeinom. This is precisely why Chazal decreed, do not drink the wine of Goyim. Why? Keep your distance. If you get too close, then there's a gezeira of chasnas, that's exactly what happened, and that's what the Gemara is pointing out. Had this story only happened after the gezeira of Yayin, then that would have ensured, not that they could have dealt with the Nisayin, that they would have necessarily avoided the Nisayin, because the Yayin wouldn't have been something that enticed them in the first place. Yayin of a Goy, that's a total no-go area. The problem was that this predated it. So once you enter the Mokim of Sakana, doesn't look that dangerous. It's a Zakeinah Mibachutz. What could possibly be wrong? But there's a Yoldah Mibafnim. There's a Yoldah Mibafnim. And the Mesillas Yesharim, of course, points out to us that this is the source and the understanding of all the Gezeirois that Chazal have decreed for us. As the very first Mishnah in Shas tells us, Kedei Laharchik Esa Odom Minu Aveiro. What does that mean, Laharchik? Not to deal with it, but Laharchik, to distance a person from the Aveira in the first place. And do you know where Chazal learned that from? Who was the Rebbe of Chazal? Says the Mesillas Yesharim, it was the Torah itself. Doesn't the Torah teach us that a Nozir must not drink wine? And then the Torah adds, neither should he even have grapes, or mecharzanim adzog, any part of a grape. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, the Torah is teaching us the lesson. The Issa is essentially not to drink wine, but you'd best keep safe, don't even touch grapes either. Says the Mesillas Yesharim, V'hoya ze limud, shelimda toira lechachamim. The nozir therefore becomes the great limud. Eich yasu hasiyog l'toira. Put up barriers. Barriers ensure that you don't have to contend with the aveira, rather, you manage to avoid it. You avoid it. Ki yilmadu min hanozir. You learn all of that from a nozir. And this says the Mira Rosh Hashiva, is why the great Zechus of Kriyas Yamsuf was awarded specifically for Vayonos Vayetze Achutz, for escaping, because that's the main avoidance. When you're in a Mokum of Sakana, he could have remained behind, and he could have perhaps reasoned with her, and argued with her. No, too dangerous. I'd rather leave the coat behind. That's going to land me in a lot of trouble. It's worth it. Vayonos Vayetze Achutz. Ultimately, that's what brought about Hayom Ro'o Vayonis. But I'd like to add, if I may, onto this very important mahalach of the Mira Rosh Hashiva. Remember the opening pasuk in Parashas Beshalach. Vayehi Beshalach Parei Esa'om V'loi Nocham Eleikim Derech Eretz Pelishtim Ki Korevhu. Many Mefarshim explain, the quicker way to Eretz Yisrael would have in fact been Derech Eretz Pelishtim. It's Korev. But he didn't take them that way. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Klal Yisrael to have to contend the Pelishtim and all the negative influence that they may bring about. So perhaps it's possible to suggest, when Klal Yisrael come to the Yam Suf and they are demanding that the Yam Suf now splits, the Yam Suf will taina, one moment, why should I split? Who asked you to come the long way round? You could have taken the easier route, which is Derech Eretz Pelishtim, and you didn't go that way. So I'm mechuyev to split, says the Yam Suf. One moment. But I see the Aroinei Shel Yosef. The Aroinei Shel Yosef teaches me that sometimes the long way, the difficult way, is in fact the best way. Because if the shorter way, it would have been far easier for Yosef HaTzadik to remain there with Eshes Potiphar, and rationalize, and argue, and deal with her. But sometimes the easier, shorter way is the more dangerous way. So it really is mido keneged mido. Yosef HaTzadik was Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza. He taught the Yamsuf this tremendous lesson, that sometimes the longer, more difficult way is in fact the necessary way. Says the Yamsuf, if that's the case, then I have to split. I agree. They could have taken the easier route to go via Derech Eretz Pelishtim. They didn't want to be influenced. That would have been a mokum of Nisayin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought them the long way round. I have to split. I learned that from Yosef HaTzadik. And maybe we should just add in conclusion, there is a frightening Oira Chaim HaKadosh. At the end of Parashas Achremois, when the Torah is dealing with the Parasha of Aroyos, immorality, and I read the words of the Oira Chaim because they send a chill up the spine. Yodua, he says, ki kol mitzvois asher tzivo Hashem la'am kedoshei. All the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded Klal Yisrael, hey mitzvahs, sheyochel ha'odom la'amoid bohem. They're obviously mitzvahs that we're able to deal with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, shake a lulav, then we have the ability to shake a lulav. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't eat nevela, then we have the ability to withstand the nesayin and not eat nevela. Zulas, besides, for precious ho'aroyoi. When the Torah says, don't be involved in immorality, that's in a league of its own. Udovar, shenachshoi shel odom mechamdoson. It's something that the person naturally has a lust for. Va'anosusoi aleyem la'asaisom, and he is considered, as it were, almost an oinus. 612 out of 613 mitzvahs, a person is able with a koyach harotzein to be oimed b'nisayin. But aroyais, a person is almost an oinus. And he explains how a person has to deal with this oinus. Only if it's harchokas shnei dvarim. He's got to distance himself from looking and from thinking. He's marich. That means the teva of a person is chas v'sholem to be consumed by aroyais. And he has to make supreme effort against his natural inclination to be able to be oimed b'nisayin. And if that's the case, Yosef HaTzadik, by being oimed b'nisayin, by escaping, by running away from Eishes Potiphar, was in fact going against Teva Ha'odom. He was misgaber over Teva Ha'odom. And therefore, mido keneged mido. It's not natural for the Yamsuf to split. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yamsuf as one homogeneous body of water. Says the sea, that when I recall what Yosef HaTzadik did, he was boireach from a mokum of sakana. But not just boireach, he overcame his natural tendencies. A person has a teva to be nichshal in aroyes, and he was misgaber. So mido keneged mido, I will also go against my nature. And I found on the Medrash that the Pirush of the Yefei Toyar quotes Reb Shlomo Alkovetz, composer of Lechodoidi. He was a peer of the Beis Yosef, and he says, mamish these words, Shekamoi she Yosef osa hepach tivoi, just as Yosef went against his nature, the opposite, lichboish yitzra, in order to overcome his yitzra, kein hoyo zeh. So too the yam also, shenepach hateva, he went against his nature as well. There are many references, Kriyas Yamsuf to the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Bris Mila is, of course, the antidote, as it were, to Gili Arayis. If you've ever been to a Bris recently, there is a piyut that sang Yoim Le'Yavosha. Talks all about Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the connection between Kriyas Yamsuf and Bris Mila? So the Shemi Shmuel explains that to perform Mila is a dangerous operation. Ki olecho hoiragnu kol hayom. It's a sakana to do Mila. And yet we do it, says the Gemara. Sakana? Says the Shemi Shmuel, I've never seen somebody die from the mitzvah of Mila. Is it a sakana? Lo shomanu, he says. Says the Shemi Shmuel, Bris Mila is a sakana. But Klal Yisrael transcend the Teva. Teva would dictate it's a sakana. But Klal Yisrael are the nation that transcend Teva. And that's why they're able to perform Bris Mila. Kriyas Yamsuf was exactly that. It was when Klal Yisrael ensured that the Yamsuf transcended. And that's the great connection, Ayin Shom Ba'arichus, between Kriyas Yamsuf and the Bris Mila. But of course that ties in so perfectly with what we're talking about tonight. Because Kriyas Yamsuf itself only came about through the Zechus of Yosef. Specifically, Vayonos Vayetze Achutza. The fact that he was able to overcome the Nisayon. More so, he ran away from the Nisayon. As the Mirror Rashiv explains to us, that's the main Yesoid in Avodas Hashem. That was Yosef HaTzadik going against his Teva. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh taught us, Teva is to be consumed by Aroyos. So therefore Yosef HaTzadik was misgaber over his Teva. Kriyas Yamsuf went against his Teva. And that's the connection to Yosef HaTzadik, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Bris Mila. Let me just conclude with two short stories. A bocha once told Rabbi Elia Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, that he's planning to go to a certain wedding. Rabbi Elia Lapian told him, is there going to be a mechitza there? Are people going to be dressed appropriately there? And he said, I've heard not, but I'll be okay. It won't influence me in any way. Said Rabbi Elia Lapian, if you don't mind me asking, could you just tell me, what's your mother's name? My mother's name? He said, yes, I want to know your mother's name. So he told him, my mother is called Kach V'Kach. Why does the Mashkiach want to know my mother's name? He said, because I want to daven for you. He said, I'm an elderly man, said Rabbi Lelapian, and I'm blind in one eye. And I know if I would go to a place like that, it would influence me. If it won't influence you, then clearly you're unwell. I want to daven for you as a chayil. This is what the Eir HaChaim HaKadosh is teaching us. That's the teva. A person gets sucked up by these types of aveiros. We know one of the Gedolei Achreinim is called the Levush. The Levush was actually a Talmud of the Ramah. Why did he call his sefer the Levush? Maybe not so well known. He writes in his introduction that in his younger years, he also faced an Nisoyen. A young woman wanted to entice him to do an aveira. And he found himself with no escape route. The only way was to go through the bathroom, a bathroom of 500 years ago, a very unpleasant, unclean place to be in. But he had no choice. There was no doors. So he had to run through this Beis HaKisei in order to avoid aveiras, and all his clothes became dirty by running through this place. So that's why he called his sefer the Levush, my clothing. It was worth getting my clothing dirty just to be able to run away from an aveira. So this is a tremendous yesod. We live in an age where, unfortunately, these types of aveiras are prevalent and are more available than perhaps they ever were before. We have to realize that when Gedolei Yisrael are fighting a milchama against technology, etc., etc., and these types of aveiras, really, they're fighting the milchama that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz was talking about. Not to deal with an Nisayon, not to be able to contend with it, but rather to be able to be boireach, to put up the siog that the Mesillas Yesharim taught us, we learned from Nozir. It's not good enough for the Nozir to say he won't drink wine. He has to avoid grapes and anything to do with grapes. Otherwise, as the Eir HaChaim HaKadosh teaches us, we can chas v'shalom run a tremendous risk of falling into this enormous pit of aveiros. The lesson we are learning is from Yosef HaTzadik. Vayonois vayetze hachutza. The avoider is not to get stuck in the ditch and then work out how to escape, but rather to avoid the mokim of Nisayon in the first. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.